Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here on a Friday afternoon. I bet many of you are already thinking of the holidays you'll have in a short time. So thank you very much for listening to this call. As usual, I'm joined by Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, João Conceição, our COO, and Gonçalo Soares, our CFO. Rodrigo will do an introduction, and then Gonçalo will go through the presentation. Rodrigo.
Thank you, Ana. Good afternoon. Thank you all for participating in our second quarter results call. The results in the first 6 months were quite positive and very much in line with the market and our own expectations. The past months have been quite rich in terms of events, and I will go a little bit through that. We had the Eletrogas stake acquisition process that has been fully completed, and we will cover a little bit of that during the presentation. The investment in EDP Gas is moving on. The regulatory clearance has been granted, which was extremely important, and we are waiting for final approval to get the deal done. That should happen soon. The proposal for reversal of the privatization on some of our concession activities has been refused by the Parliament. This was also a very important topic that we had to address in the past few months, and I think we were, you know, very successful in making our Parliament understand that would be a mistake, and we ended up the way we wanted. We have been involved indirectly in a public investigation process, and of course we are collaborating with local authorities. This is a process that will keep going. Nothing really is happening on that front regarding us. And we are going through a very dry and warm year that is leading to a short supply of water and one of the worst years in terms of forest fires. And also, which is something that never happened this way in Portugal, with loss of lives that we deeply regret. Natural gas consumption is at record levels, with all our infrastructures being used at their top capacity. You know, last year, we were not using our infrastructures of natural gas at the peak, and this year, it seems that, you know, natural gas is really a serious option as a backup, and we are very happy to have all these infrastructures working at their full capacity. While we have a lot of moving parts affecting our daily work, as you can see, we have been able to perform quite well in all fronts. EBITDA reached 242.7 million euros, a 1% increase over last year's numbers, with Electrogas already contributing with 3.7 million euros, which I must tell you, it's also slightly better than our initial expectation when we bought the stake back in February. Operationally, things are going according to plan. OPEX was higher than normal, but for good reasons. Costs endured with the purchases of Electrogas and EDP Gas, and higher volumes of the NLG terminal in Sines. Apart from these two items, there is really nothing additional to report. On the financial side, and as we had said before, the average cost of debt stays stable at 2.6%, which led to a significant improvement in net financials. Net income at 53 million euros naturally benefited from what I've just mentioned, but kept being negatively impacted by the energy levy, fully accounted for in the first quarter. These are the main topics that I want to cover, and now I'll pass the floor to Gonçalo, who will take you through the presentation, and then myself, Gonçalo and João, will be here to answer any question you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. So, hello, good afternoon to you all, and thank you for being here. So, looking at slide number one, and just going briefly, as since Rodrigo already mentioned, some of these EBITDA growing slightly in line with what we expected, also due to the contribution of Electrogas, net income growing solidly, also on the back of financial results improvement, which have been declining versus last year, but stabilizing versus first quarter, as we had mentioned at the time. Net debt also a very small increase, even due to the fact that we acquired Electrogas, and I'll go into that also. I'd say then CapEx and transfers to RAB, things are more or less as expected. As you know, at the middle of the year is a little bit soon to give you some news, but I'll give you a little bit of color also regarding end of the year and what we are looking at. So if you want, and skipping slide number 2, which has just a table with the main elements, you can see in slide number 3 the increase in rates during the year, although in the last few months they have come down. So as of now, electricity base rate of return is around 6.4 versus 6.1 last year, and gas is around 6.3, which, as you know, is very similar to electricity nowadays, which has come down a lot versus last year, because last year you still had a different regulatory period in the first half of the year. So regarding CapEx and looking at slide number 4, you can see that there is actually a growth in CapEx and a decline in a decline in transfers to RAB. As I told you, it's a little bit early on. And the matter of fact is that also, as we've told you in many meetings, since we've acquired Electrogas and since we are on the verge of completing the EDP Gas transaction of gas distribution, we are also kind of managing the CapEx profile for this year and in the coming year so that we can manage the cash flow profile better. So I would assume a decline in CapEx, in normal CapEx, given that we are having these investments both in Chile and in gas distribution. Looking at slide number 5 and average RAB, nothing new, it's declining, but I'd say that even as of now, this would be normal. As you know, most of the investments that we make are made at the end of the year. That being said, they continue to be made where we know they are concentrated, which is in electricity with premium. So I'd say that there is nothing really very new about this. Okay, going to slide number 6, you can see the dynamics both in gas and electricity. So in electricity, you see the clearly, and because it doesn't have any other impact, the dynamic of the increase in the rates that are underlying. So that's the, basically the impact that makes the remuneration go up by 3 million. And in the natural gas, it's the reverse. It's the change of the regulatory period that makes it go down, even if the base rate increases compensating slightly for what we had anticipated. So I'd say that this is slightly ahead of what we thought it would be during the year, but it has given us a slightly positive impact in the accounts. Looking at OPEX, OPEX is growing, but in slide number 7, this is mainly driven not only by some non-core OPEX that you'll see in the next slide. In slide number 8, you can see that non-core OPEX also grows a little bit. Core OPEX grows close to 3 million euros. This is mainly driven by transaction costs that we have mainly with Electrogas, but already some with EPG. It is also related to some costs that we have in electricity in the terminal. As Rodrigo mentioned, this is a year where the gas infrastructure has been being utilized at record levels. It is that's why we have these infrastructures. It's also because in some years they are more extreme, and sometimes when people ask us if they are completely used, it's important to know that they are not built for the only the normal year. They are also built for different years, and this is a very special year. We've had a more than double the number of ships that have come to the terminal to download their gas. And so this has translated not only in more revenues that you don't see isolated, but also in more costs. The net impact is positive, but of course this has I'd say, an impact in cost that you see here reflected. So I'd say that it's more either things that are in revenues or non-recurrent costs. There's nothing, I'd say, strange. If it was not for this, we would be maintaining the normal kind of stability, slight decline of core OPEX. So, and that kind of covers slide number 8 also, so I kind of went through core OPEX. So everything else is more or less stable. We see that the ITC mechanism costs are going because we are also exporting more electricity to Spain. We've been exporting heavily to Spain this year, and this is why this cost, which for us is a non-core cost in the pass-through cost, has been growing also. So summing up on the EBITDA part, you see that we have, because of the impact in gas, and this is in slide number 9, a slight negative impact from asset remuneration, and also a negative impact in cost because of what I told you. But then not only amortizations, but also other revenues from assets, which is basically the incentive to assets at the end of life that has been growing a little bit as it does every year. But also the contribution of Electrogas and other revenues, namely incentives that we have because of the usage of this gas infrastructure that has been contributing here at the EBITDA line. Looking at below EBITDA and looking at depreciations, I'd say nothing to point out. Financial results, as Rodrigo mentioned, there's a stability in the cost of funding versus last quarter. The main refinancing events happened last year, so this 2.6 that we are seeing now is basically the impact of that refinancing main last year. It's basically a price impact, pretty much in line with first quarter. And I would also go ahead and tell you, so that you don't have to ask, that we are not anticipating that this should change materially in the full year. So we have done most of our refinancing. Yes, of course, if and when the EDP gas transaction moves forward with the capital increase followed by the bond issuance, that will have a slight impact, actually perhaps not positive, because we'll be substituting instruments, short-term instruments that we are using now with lower cost. But I would assume basically a stabilization of the net cost of debt during the year, give or take 10 dips. In terms of taxes, no news. It's slightly below the number, the effective tax rate. It's around 26%. This relates to the fact that in one of the companies we have a negative tax bill. But I'd say that it should trend to the more normal, even if it doesn't reach the 28%, which is, I'd say, the normal one. It should trend upwards. And at the end of the day, should be close to that value. Looking at net debt, you can see that there's an increase of 4%, 100 million. Again, this is pretty much in line with what we've said in the first quarter. This is below what the impact of Electrogas acquisition was. And I think, as we said before, this is basically linked to the fact that in the past we had some tariff deviations that were to be paid. They are being paid now. And additional, as I told you, the fact that we are using the gas infrastructure a lot actually has also a positive impact for once in this item. And so we actually are receiving a little bit more than was anticipated relating to that. Okay, but that I would say is basically the story of that. And no news, FFO net debt is stable. This is what we anticipate, is that FFO net debt, in either case, either we conclude, or if by any event we wouldn't conclude, in either case, FFO net debt would be very close to the 11%, a little bit above, but around that figure. So I think we are monitoring this very closely and always kind of maintaining this objective of the investment grade levels that we have for the rating agencies. So summing up, net profit, a growth of 31%, a healthy growth. Again, there are some, I'd say, impacts this first semester that will make that on a full year basis you would not see this kind of growth, although we still expect net income to grow, of course. In the year, you will not see this kind of growth, but it's basically on the back of increase of EBITDA and improvement of financial costs that drive this. So I'd say that in conclusion, I think this is a good set of results. We continue to see, and we are already seeing some good impact of the Electrogas acquisition. And this is an acquisition that where we've been to three boards already, very stable assets with completely in line with our expectations and contributing what we expected. And I think it adds value to have this new option of growth outside of Portugal. And apart from that, we are waiting, I'd say, that the main other company and just commenting and complementing what Rodrigo said, we are waiting for the final approval of the EDPG. Everything is, I'd say, ready for us to go, namely in terms of capital increase. And so I don't think that we'll have some news on that front also in the near future, okay? So I would say that in principle, our objective to do the capital increase until the end of the third quarter should be okay. Okay, so with this, I kind of conclude my remarks. And so we'll open up the floor to any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Sarah Pacinci from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for taking my questions. So I have three for now. First one is on these higher costs related to the recent transactions, and how much would you be the impact on a full year basis in your view, and if some of these costs could be offset through the year. The second question is on the capital increase. So you expect the timing to be by the end of the third quarter. Would ask if you have already approached your current shareholders and if they are confirming their participation to this capital increase. The third question is on regulation. If you can give your comment on the consultation documents that the regulator published in May, and which is your view on the extension of the regulatory period, and if possible, your expectation on the review of the parameters of the WACC formula. Thank you.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for the question. So relating to the first one, so the cost now that we have in the account is around 1.9 million. Of course, the major cost of transaction, and this relates mostly, it's not only, but mostly to the transaction in Chile. Okay. The transaction in EPG already has some cost, but not a lot. But I'd say that then, of course, when the major cost would be then the transaction for the EDPG, namely the banks, and the capital increase, which are not in the accounts now. Of course, we would also have the contribution already of EDPG this year helping to compensate for that. So this is what it is. So it's a completely one-off cost. We'll be very transparent and careful to let you know exactly what are the one-off. As of now, it's around 1.9. So I'd say that that would be easily digestible by the contribution also of Electrogas. But
this is what it is as of now. Rodrigo?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so,
well, do you want to comment on,
the
timing?
On the timing of the capital increase, you said so. We do not, we are waiting for the final approval. Actually, this is an approval that comes through the seller, EDP. It is our impression that this is, I'd say, almost there. It's a matter of not a long time. We have been already advancing our work in terms of the prospectus and the capital increase. We've been working very closely, not only with our own advisors, but with CMVM, that has been very helpful and has been advancing the work. And so I think that as soon as we have this final approval, we'll be able to move pretty fast jointly in team with all of these people to be able to make this until the end of the third quarter. Of course, we cannot give you a final date because it's not in our hands.
Regarding the shareholders, yes, as you know, we do not comment on the shareholders' positions. You know, this is something that it's up to them to make any comment if they wish to do so. When we did the announcement, we said that we had full support from our board. The board has a strong representation of several shareholders, and we know that we have a lot of shareholders that really welcome the transaction. The market reaction has been always, you know, positive. We believe that this is going to create value the same way the Electrogas transaction is creating value, and that's all we can say on that front. João, do you want to comment on the regulation?
Sure, thanks, Rodrigo. On the regulatory side, well, the official information we have so far is the one that has been put forward by the regulator on the public consultation. As you mentioned, I would say the biggest or most important change that so far has been released is the proposal of the regulator to extend the regulatory period from 3 years to 4 years. It's something that we have been asking for quite a while, and it's, in our view, a strong signal of the intention of the regulator to have stability in the regulatory model, allowing us to have more time to implement efficiency measures that we believe to be possible to do. They also set some considerations on the incentive mechanisms. So far, the information is a little bit vague; it's not really detailed. But on the way we see it is that the regulator is signaling that he wants to have stability in the regulatory model, and we agree with that approach.
Many thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Nelson Bernardino from Haytog Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I only have one question, which is, now that you are already in Electrogas, I'm curious about what you found out about the asset. Clearly, from financial point, you already said it was going better than expected. But from the operational side and also from the environment in Chile, did you have any surprises, either positive or negative? Thank you.
I would say that we are not having any surprise. You know, we did a lot of research before we did the acquisition. You know, our partners in the deal are the people we were expecting. You know, very good corporations, both ENAP and Colbún. We understand all together what we want from the asset. It's a very simple infrastructure. It's just basically a gas duct and a small oil duct, which are delivering exactly what they are supposed to deliver, a great service to a handful of customers, you know, long-term contracts, stable revenues according to what we were expecting. A very good team of people. We had the opportunity to visit and to work with them, and you know, everything is going according to the plan. You know, and this is something we know well. You know, this type of infrastructure, this type of business, and we are quite happy to see that everything has come to fruition in the right way.
Okay, thank you.
There appears to be no further questions in the queue. As a reminder, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take a follow-up question from Sarah Pacini from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, sorry, I have just a few follow-ups. First one is, how much is your expectation on a full year contribution from Electrogas? And second one is concerning the latest vote that there has been on, at the Parliament. So you say that you are away from the danger, let's say, that the public control of REN could be in hands of the government. But if I'm not wrong, there were other two issues discussed. There were the public control of the dispatch center of REN, and also the elimination of overcost related to investments in power grid. Can you comment on that? Thank you.
Your second question right away, about the Parliament. Well, the Parliament is it's a process, and what was discussed at the Parliament was, you know, there was one proposal for law, and there is a kind of a motion to discuss a topic that will be discussed later on, you know, during the parliamentary year. The one that was discussed, the one that I was referring to, which was, you know, straightforward. The objective of the proposal was to remove from REN's control the dispatch, the system, and basically the system management and the planning activity, which would be, you know, a big blow to our, you know, expectations as a full TSO who is doing a great job. And I think, you know, that one, you know, it's been voted. The Parliament voted against, the majority in the Parliament voted against that proposal of law. And then the works will keep going. You know, this is, you know, there will be more initiatives from the parties. Nobody can know if tomorrow some other party or the same party will ask for the same things. You know, this is a democracy. Then the parties are free to present new ideas, new proposals, and we will be here to defend our cause. You know, we do believe that REN is doing a great job since, especially since it became a private company, the money we cost to the consumer is much lower than ever before. We are very efficient. I think we are a leading example in terms of quality of service. And, you know, overall, I think we have all the reasons to believe that we, you know, we will keep being able to, you know, to make the Parliament understand that what we're doing is well done. And we are, in fact, you know, we are more efficient than ever before.
Relating to your first question, I'd say that ongoing should be around 6, perhaps a little bit above 6 million per year, a little bit above that. And this already has the financial costs that we are estimating for buying. So it's not, I'd say that the straight contribution would be above that, would be around 7, and then I'd say that the net income real contribution should be 6, a little bit above, something like that. Okay, thank you. But Anna can give you a little bit more detail if you need to afterwards, but should be around it. Okay, thank you.
Perfect, thanks. So, sorry, just to see if I understood correctly, the discussion at the Parliament regarding the control of the dispatch center is something still going on, or it's something closed for now?
It's over.
It's over. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from Arthur Sitobin from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's actually Carolina Doris from Morgan Stanley. Sorry for the confusion. I have two questions. First one, and when I look at your financial expenses, it's a bit of detail. On the second quarter, they are way below $4 million lower than the first quarter of the year, even though the cost of debt in the first quarter of 17 and second quarter of 17 was relatively stable, and so is the level of debt. So my question is this $12 million per quarter what we should expect going forward, or even a lower level? That's the first question. And second question, can you give us an update on how is the what is the status of the lawsuit against the energy levy that you have? Thank you very much.
Okay, so relating to the first question, yes, in principle, it's what you should see moving forward. I don't think there should be any major change, as I told you. I think that at the moment that we refinance with bonds, there might be a slight increase, but that should not have on the full year basis in the average cost of debt a material impact. Okay? We are continuing with our refinancing efforts, and so I think that on that front, that's what you should expect.
On the levy court process, you know, we have nothing new to report. You know, the thing is moving, you know, it moved up another 6 months. We always, since the very first time we spoke about that, we said that we should be very cautious in terms of timing with the courts. And it is happening exactly what we thought. It's taking the time. There is no update to be done. And this is, you know, we keep complaining, you know, we keep believing we have the right lawyers, we believe we are right, but I'm sure the other guys, they think exactly the same too. Then, you know, we have to wait and do our jobs. Okay.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone opportunity to signal. There are no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back to yourself for any additional or closing remarks.
Just one closing remark before we go. In principle, the third quarter results will be released on a different date. So we were planning to do it on the 4th of November, and we're thinking about changing it to 17th of November. But we will post that in our website in due time. But if you want to take note of that, the 4th of November is not going to be the right date. Apart from that, thank you very much for your questions and for listening to this call. If it's the case, I hope you all have great vacations and come back with full interest in REN.
Thank you. I second Anna's words. If you go on vacation, enjoy the vacation. If you are going to keep working the next coming weeks, I wish you a great job.
Have a great summer.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.